Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good
afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
We can begin. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. And I believe that is in row 9 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in the second column from the left. The title is A Series of Classes Teaching the Sefer Yetzirah, Including Meditation and Astrology. And when that opens up, please scroll down. Class 4, the first handout is Class 4 taught on June 24th, 2013. And that is where we will begin. After we say the Shem Yehud. Does anybody have any questions from the previous class? The Talmud in the Mishnayot of Hagigah sets certain limits on teaching certain subjects, certain issues. One issue is what is referred to today as incest. The Mishnah says, do not teach the Torah section of Leviticus chapter 18 or chapter 20 relating to the do not sleep with morality to more than two students at a time. This is a section on creation and the Sefirot, which is first mentioned in the Sefer Bahir, and then the Zohar. It also has the Sefer Yetzirah. The next issue mentioned in the Mishnah is called the Secrets of Creation. This is not to be taught to more than one at a time. This is the in-depth teachings of the Parasha of Bereshit. There are two categories. This is an unwritten commentary. There are two categories that are referred to throughout the writings of this older sages, the sages in biblical times and before, and around the time of the Talmud as well. But these sages, they describe the Merkava, the chariot of Ezekiel, using the first chapter of Ezekiel as their source document. And the other one is called the Merkava Bereshit, the chariot of creation. And these are two different methods of ascent into the spiritual realms in order to connect to a personal experience of the Creator. That's why these sections we are taught to limit how we teach them and to whom we teach them. I'm returning to the reading. The next issue mentioned in the Mishnah is called the Secrets of Creation. And this is not to be taught to more than one at a time. This is the in-depth teachings of the Parasha of Bereshit. The third category is what we will be teaching as part of the Sefer Yetzirah. This is called the workings of the chariot, the Merkava. This says, do not teach more than one, and that one person needs to be able to know the material already. And obviously, this takes some understanding of what is the Talmud truly saying. It is saying that the student needs to have some experience in meditation and astral travel. Then the student can be instructed because he has some experience to base the instructions upon. Understanding these categories is helpful. Understanding that there is a hierarchy in learning this material continuing. We will assume in this class no such thing. It's not that we're saying no to the teachings. It's not saying no that I'm going to limit it to people, because we no longer know who is a complete human being. We no longer know if I had two people standing in front of me, would they be considered one person, or do I need 100 people to be considered one person? We don't know. And we don't have the capability nor the inclination to question who that is, except to make sure that people do not abuse the powers that are taught. Except there's some built-in protection methods in the teachings, as we will explain as we go through our teachings through the weeks. We will prepare people for the experience, and then we expect the student to experience what they experience by doing the work, by trying the different meditative techniques that we teach, by trying the different suggestions that we suggest. And we expect the student to bring back the experience so that this iterative process can go forward, each time expanding to a greater and greater understanding of the experience. If you do not understand what I have said, give it a few months of classes and then reread this section. And another alternative is you might listen to some of the commentaries in our deeper Zohar class, where people have expressed this idea that they might have read the same material in an earlier class or in another way, and all of a sudden it's now clear to them, or they might have heard something 2-3 years ago and now it's familiar to them. It's explaining this hierarchy of spirituality. It's explaining it through experience. It's explaining it through process of spiritual growth. Continuing. The way to relate to these three categories, which is teaching the same material from three different perspectives, is to see the first issue is an intellectual understanding of creation. Not a religious understanding, but a learning of basic vocabulary and building upon that. The idea of studying the first parasha of the book of Genesis is a studying creation from the frame of science, technology, and the growth of that science and technology throughout the centuries. It is what most people have learned in their childhood education in the 20th century. That is the study of the incest, the study of the Sephirot, the study of the chapters 18 and 20 of Leviticus. It's the study of Kedusha, holiness, and so forth. The second level is the study of the science and technology. And as I said, understanding as it grows through the centuries. And we still have these arguments today. As an example, in the Talmud it says that the maggot, which is the eggs of flies that have been laying in meat that has been left out, and all of a sudden the maggots hatch, and they've been tested the meat. But if you don't have a microscope to be able to see the eggs, you can't know where the larva came from. And so there is a teaching in the Talmud that the larva are coming from nothing. They're coming into existence with no beginning. And of course, once you have a microscope, you can tell that there's an egg there and you see it hatch. The third category is something else entirely, as we will explain as we go through the classes in the Sefer Yetzirah. Let us digress slightly in this discussion. The meditative techniques that are taught in the Sefer Yetzirah are the same in all three categories. The techniques are the same, but the direction and the goals are different. And the Kavanah is different. And thus, people arrive at different conclusions. One sage in particular, Rabbi Akiva, was an expert in all three schools. Rabbi Akiva was the rabbi of the Bar Kokhba revolution, which threw the Romans out of Judea for a few years, and then was reconquered, And the estimate of the dead was 5 million in one city, which was known as the underground city of Betar. Betar was the capital of Bar Kokhba's revolution. And it was built mostly underground in the caves of the Judean mountains. And you can Google these subjects or Bing these subjects and learn about them, as they have significant application in our work. Rabbi Akiva died through the horrible death of being skinned alive with metal combs. He welcomed this death because he had made an excursion and experienced a direct expression of Hashem, who told him this type of death was necessary for him to experience. Since this was his message from Hashem, he accepted this judgment with joy and happiness. And because of this, the Talmud says, he felt no pain, although those around him saw him in pain. And there is much to learn from this story in the Talmud. To digress slightly, the story is essentially that he was being skinned alive with metal combs. And one of his students approached him and said to him, Rabbi, you have been studying the Torah for 40 years. Let me rephrase that. Rabbi Akiva had been studying the Torah for 40 years and teaching the Torah for an additional 40 years. Because the first 40 years of his life, he was considered an ignoramus. He never studied the Torah until he reached the age of 40. So the student approaches him in his travails, and he says, Rabbi, this is the benefit of studying Torah? And it is said that Rabbi Akiva's response was to a student of his, get away from me, snake. Get away from me. I have waited my whole life to experience what the words in the V'ahavta of the Shema express. How can you love your God with all your heart and with all your might? And many other expressions of love. To Rabbi Akiva, by accepting Hashem's decree with love, he was experienced the meaning of those words from the V'ahavta. He was living those words, which is what we all strive to achieve, to live the words of Torah through experience. It is our opinion, and the opinion of many active Kabbalists, that Abraham wrote the 400 chapters referred to in the Talmud, and then Rabbi Akiva redacted what was left of these teachings into the 6 chapters and the 64 verses that we have received. Actually, we learn that there are 65 verses from certain copies that have come down to us. Others say there are 72 verses. In any event, it is important for us to realize that these verses are Mishnayot. A Mishnah is a spiritual law. Mishnah is spelled Mem Shin Nun He. Please realize, permutate the letters, and one of the permutations, you will realize that the same letters that make up the word Mishnah make up the word Neshama. spelled Nun Shin Mem He. Neshama is the soul that is never sullied. Your neshama doesn't sin. It escapes rather than sins. If you decide to do a sin, the neshama will leave, and that empty space is taken up by a neshama from the negative system. Continuing to read. The neshama is our soul. It is the highest part of our soul that usually fits into the body. Remember, we have two other parts of the soul that are considered part of our aura, although only one part is seen by some of the highest part, can only be sensed by the techniques and tools that are taught in the Sefer Yetzirah. What modern thought, modern expressions called aura, is really in Kabbalah referred to as surrounding light. Surrounding light ultimately becomes inner light. Its purpose of being surrounding is to eventually be brought into the level of the body, into the body. Because it's only when it's in the body that it can be truly lived, as opposed to when it's in the surrounding light. It can be sensed by others, but not truly by yourself, because it's part of your tikkun. Each verse and each chapter in the Sefer Yetzirah is a spiritual law or a Mishnah. It supersedes all aspects of halakha, since it comes before it in time and space and motion and all other dimensions. Over the course of the class and your own experience, you will see how this works. The Sefer Yetzirah has six chapters, yet they appear to be out of order. Chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 relate to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 6 prepares you to experience what various dimensions have within them. Chapter 1 relates to the Sephirot, which is initially presented in history by the Sefer Yetzirah. But you can see that, you can understand that the Sephirot are words, and words are made up of letters. So clearly the information in the chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 come before the chapter 1 dealing with the Sephirot. The Sefer Yetzirah begins with chapter 1 to introduce the concepts of Sephirot because they are related to consciousness. Without chapter 1 and the connection to the teachings of consciousness, we cannot utilize the teachings about the letters effectively. Yet always realize that words like the names of the Sephirot and the name of your soul is made up of letters. And the information given in chapters 2 through 5 always needs to be used to perceive a deeper understanding of the words that are made by a combination of the letters. To truly utilize the Sefer Yetzirah, it is meant to be utilized as it is meant to be utilized, requires a complete blocking of Chapter 1 and its teachings regarding consciousness. If you have never heard of the word rocking, it's a word used in a science fiction biography called Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein. And grokking is a term that never gets defined except the story explains it. Grokking is a total unity between your consciousness and what you are trying to grok. That unity is complete and total perception and understanding and love of the other entity that is outside of you. Of course, we are all aspects of the Creator, and there is nothing outside of the Creator. And it's only illusion that lets us see myself as separate from you. So grokking is a way of unifying separate aspects of the creation. Continuing to read. Modern science is just now beginning to deal with this subject, and yet it has become limited by the initial teachings associated with psychology. Even the Kabbalah has found this limiting due to the influence of psychology and science on the modern Western mind and the impact of destruction associated with the Shoah. Of course, this is the work of Satan doing what he does best, lengthening the process. I will strive to bring this information into the light of day. Yet it is up to you to transform this information into knowledge and experience in your own life. Failure by you to perceive the influence on your thoughts and thinking regarding psychology will limit your growth and use of the instructions of the Sefer Yetzirah. That is my opinion. Let me give you some hints of this issue. To understand a human being, one must realize that there are two semi-equal aspects. One can utilize the metaphor of a horse and a rider to describe the two aspects, body and soul. In the endless world, there is no body. There is a garment. Therefore, one must relate to the body differently than the soul. Psychology does not do this. Modern Kabbalah does not do this. It is only the teachings of Kabbalah achieved through the devakut, the meditation, the cleaving, that utilizes this perception. Even the creation of a golem needs two creations, one for the body of the golem and one for the soul of the golem. The wise contemplation of this paragraph may be sufficient. We will discuss this again. Revealed in the Sefer Yetzirah is significant material relating to Hebrew astrology. Why is this material revealed within the chapters dealing with consciousness and also the letters? This is to teach us the significance of the Hebrew astrology. we need to understand Hebrew's astrological influences upon each human being. In modern society, this information is considered unimportant. That is the work of Satan. The important cause and effect relationships are never physical. They are energy related. To relate to the energies involved, we need to understand the letter causes of these energies. To move from the physical to the spiritual, we need the deep knowledge of astrology that is presented in the Sefer Yetzirah, along with consciousness. One without the other is incomplete. I will try to teach this in combination. I do not believe this has ever been done. And I know it's never been done in a group. I will welcome input on how well this is being accomplished. The influence of astrology is different on the body than on the soul. Let us address the idea of the golem here. To those not familiar with the modern story, in the 16th century, Kabbalist Rabbi Yehuda Loew of Prague took some virgin clay along with his Kohen and his Levite. All three walked around the clay one way and then the other way, saying something. And the clay became a 7-foot Arnold Schwarzenegger ready to defend the Jews of Prague from all those anti-Semites. This 7-foot being had no brains, only instincts. It was created for a specific single job. Perhaps the story is true. For sure, the story is incomplete. God spoke and the light came into existence. There is a hint to this sentence. Creation is only done through the power of speech. Is this true or false? The Kabbalists teach that there is a power of mind that is stronger even than sound. The Kabbalists teach that one can create through a mental construct. Which, through the power of will, can become manifest. This is the construct of mind over matter. This is accomplished using the three items expressed in the first Mishnah of the Sefer Yetzirah, called Chapter 1, Mishnah 1. They are the last three words in the first Mishnah. They are the Sefer, Sefer, Sipur. I did pronounce them, but I have not translated them. The three-letter root, Samach Pei Resh, this is the root to the word Sefirah. There is a understanding in modern Hebrew that this root deals with numbers. Not the book of numbers, but in counting. Now I'm returning to the reading. I will warn you that the English translations that you read in these classes and the usual translation of text, number, and communication is not correct and not complete, and it will confuse you. Even the Kaplan version of the Sefer Yetzirah that most of us will be using does not translate these words properly. It is not book, number, and story. Look at the similarity of the three words, and there is your hint. Look at the meaning of the three letters in reverse order. Resh, which is Rosh, or head. Pei, which is mouth. And Samech, which is support and circular. And there is your hint. Which is higher, the head or the heart? Is intellect or emotion more important or less important? Of course, all of us Westerners would answer the intellect, and logic is the superior. The Kabbalists teach this is true and false. There is a higher level of emotion which supersedes the intellect. This is what the Kabbalah attempts to reach through meditation. This is what the tool of binding by striking strives to reach. If you want to learn this book intellectually, this is not the class. Read Rabbi Kaplan, learn Hebrew, and I will recommend a few books and commentaries for you. This class will teach you how to do this creation of a golem. It will not build it for you. It will not give you the strength of mind necessary to achieve this. Only exercise will achieve that. Only your personal desire and your personal cleansings will achieve this level of consciousness. All I can say is that it is possible to do if you desire it. And this is the end of today's class. Next week, we will begin with the first Mishnah. And you see it in this handout. You can read ahead if you wish, but I recommend you review the first four classes that we have had, or is it six classes that we have had? Review the classes, listen to the recordings, begin to build your strength of mind, your strength of will. Does anybody have any questions? And while you're unmuting to ask questions, I will say, remind you that there are two classes today, one at 4:30, which is a continuation of our deeper Zohar classes, and one at 7 p.m., which is a regular Zohar class from the Parasha of Naso. Tomorrow morning, the Psalms class, which is normally at 7 a.m., may be slightly delayed, or it may be canceled. I have a doctor's appointment, and I'm just not sure that when I will be released in order to return to the class. So please give it a little bit longer than 15 minutes tomorrow morning, and if capable, I will be here within that time frame. And if I miss it, you'll understand that the class is canceled. Are there any questions? I hope you all have a beautiful afternoon. Shalom Gadol. Shalom to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.